Thank you, Mr. Henderson. I knew Mr. Miller was giving the prayer, and so when I closed my eyes and heard a different voice, it was weird. Well, in almost a week and a half, members of the Church of God will gather here in Cleveland and all over the world to take the Passover. They will wash each other's feet. They will eat a little piece of unleavened bread and drink a little bit of wine. But not all of us will be taking the Passover that night. Only the baptized members of the church will be here to take the Passover. Those who have not been baptized will not be here taking it. I realize this doesn't come as a shock to anyone here, but do you know why only baptized members take the Passover? For a long time, I never really gave it a lot of thought. I will admit, that when I was growing up in the church, I had very little interest in the Passover. It was fine with me that I couldn't go, because I had no interest in putting on church clothes on a random weeknight and going to a church service. And when I was a teenager, I was on security for the Passover, because we didn't have facilities where we could lock the doors. We rented schools or other church buildings. And so you needed someone on security to make sure that no one wandered in, because it's a very serious service. And we don't want people wandering in, even if it's by accident. Now, I should point out that for as long as I can remember, it has been allowed that an unbaptized person can observe the Passover and see what it's all about. Because while the Passover is a private ceremony, it's not a secret ceremony. I can remember, for instance, when I was outside on security, and my younger brother, who wasn't old enough to be on security, was inside observing. And I was just fine being outside. All that to say, when the minister said every year that the service was only for baptized members, I was happy to take him at his word. But along the way, I did listen to the reasons given here and there, and they made sense. So again, I never gave the why too much thought. The point being, it's possible to spend a lot of years in the church and still not really understand something that is really very important. When we just accept something at face value, when it's the right thing, we'll at least stay out of trouble. But we're not supposed to just accept things, even right things, at face value. We're supposed to prove all things so that we understand the why. Because if we don't prove them to ourselves, then what's to stop us from accepting wrong things at face value? Whether it's things that are taught in sermons or just ideas that we discuss with other members. Now, I'm not saying we should be cynical, walking around giving everyone the side eye. What's he up to? But we should be like the Bereans in Acts, fair-minded, receiving the word and proving that it's true from the Bible. So, if you've never really given much thought to why only baptized members of the church take the Passover, today's the day we find out why. And if you have already proved it, then hopefully this will be a good refresher, because one day someone might ask why, and we should all be able to explain why we do the things we do. So let's just turn to the verse that says only baptized members of the church should take the Passover, and then we can all go home early. Oh, wait. There's not a verse that says that. So is it just tradition? Did the church just make it up? Or is it up to you and me to decide for ourselves, because there's no thou shalt in the Bible. Well, spoiler alert, the answer is no. And as we go along, it should be clear to all of us that it's actually extremely important to know the answer. Because to not take the Passover when you should is a big deal. And so is taking the Passover when you shouldn't. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8. What better place to actually begin than the place where the Passover began? And we'll see here in Exodus who God says should take the Passover. Exodus 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month will be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Now, the word for house or household can mean the place where you live, or it can mean the people who live in the house, the family. Verse 4. "And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb." Persons is the word nephesh, which is the word that means a living being. Not just men, not just adults. The size of the lamb should be according to the number of living persons in the family or families. Verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the seventh month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it." It says here that the whole assembly, every living being in Israel, was supposed to eat the lamb. All of Israel was instructed to take the Passover. Now turn over to Numbers chapter 9 and verses 1 through 14. But save your place. I should have said it faster. Save your place in Exodus. It's too late now. But we are going back. All right. In Numbers 9, we'll find some more details about who keeps the Passover and the importance of keeping the Passover. Numbers 9 and verse 1. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, 'Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it.' So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did." And now there are some new instructions that weren't in Exodus. Now, there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. If anyone touched a corpse, they had to be put outside the camp until they were clean, so they couldn't keep the Passover. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, And those men said to him, "We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, 'If any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse, or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month, at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it.'" There's no command, no allowance for a second Pentecost or a second Day of Atonement. The Passover is the only festival where there's a second chance, if you will, if you had to miss it for some reason. I actually have taken the second Passover once. Taking the Passover is important enough to God that he instituted a rule to make it possible for everyone to take it. And not taking the Passover is a very big deal. Verse 13. "But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin." Anyone who was able to keep the Passover and didn't was cut off. Now, the word for cut off can be used for cutting off a body part, which is a good way to put it in this perspective. Anyone who wouldn't keep it was removed from the body. All of Israel was supposed to take the Passover. And if you're not keeping the Passover, then you're not part of Israel. And then verse 14 adds something else. "And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and the native of the land." A stranger, someone who is not part of Israel, can take the Passover as long as they follow all the rules. So what are the rules? Well, this is explained in the additional instructions that are recorded later on in chapter 12 of Exodus. So let's go back to Exodus 12 and verses 43 through 49. The Passover is instituted. Israel gets their instructions to spread the blood of the lamb on their door frames. It goes on to talk about the days of unleavened bread for the first time. And then it records the events of the 10th plague. And at the end of chapter 12, we have some more details about keeping the Passover. And here are the rest of the rules about who does and who does not take the Passover. Exodus 12 and verse 43, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then Let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Just like we read in Numbers, there's one set of rules. And the same rules apply whether you are a native born Israelite or not. So, what are the rules so far? Well, first, all of Israel was included in taking the Passover. But anyone who was not part of Israel was excluded. Not just anyone can take it. If you're not an Israelite, you don't just get to decide, I want to take the Passover, so I'm going to take the Passover. Now, it's not exactly an exclusive club. If you're not an Israelite, there is a way for you to take the Passover. You just have to be circumcised. But why does a foreigner have to be circumcised to take the Passover? Why can't he just follow all the other rules, just like the Israelites, and then be able to take the Passover? Well, for that, let's go to Genesis 17. In verses 10 through 14. Now here God establishes a covenant with Abraham and with all of his descendants who would come after him. God promises to make the descendants of Abraham great in number and great in strength. And God told Abraham what was required to be part of this covenant with God. Genesis 17 and verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you, you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Anyone who was not circumcised was cut off from his people, just like anyone who wouldn't keep the Passover was cut off. If you're born an Israelite, but you're not circumcised, or you don't keep the Passover, then you're not an Israelite anymore. And you're not a part of the covenant. And the reverse is true for the foreigners. Anyone not born an Israelite. You can't just take the Passover because you want to. For a non-Israelite to take the Passover, he had to be part of the covenant people. He had to become an Israelite. Circumcision was not just a tradition among the Israelites or the Jews. It was a sign that you were part of the nation. That you were part of this covenant with God. That's why it was such a big controversy in the early church. But in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, things are a little different. But the principles are the same. Because the Passover is still a central part of the covenant. And so is circumcision. Please turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 through 28. Let's find those principles from the Old Testament Passover in the New Testament Passover. Now, during his last night as a physical human being, Jesus Christ did keep the Old Testament Passover. But then he began the New Testament Passover with some new instructions. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." There are new symbols and a new covenant. Now, there were some amazing promises included in the old covenant. But as the book of Hebrews points out, one thing that was not included, and in fact could not be included, was the remission or the removal of sins. And we'll come back to that thought in a bit. But for now, let's go to John chapter 6 and verses 48 through 56. Instead of sacrificing a lamb and shedding its blood, the symbols of the New Testament Passover now include unleavened bread as the representation of Christ's flesh. And the wine represents our Passover's shed blood. And then John 6 and verse 48, "I am the bread of life," Jesus Christ said. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They didn't understand then, but we do understand how he gives his flesh. We read it in Matthew 26. It's the bread we eat at the Passover. Verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Under the old covenant, if you don't take the Passover when you're supposed to be taking it, you're cut off from Israel. Under the new covenant, if you don't take the Passover, if you don't eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood, then you're cut off from life. The principle is the same. It is an absolute necessity to take the Passover, just like it was back in the book of Numbers. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 30. The principle is the same. It's a big deal to not take the Passover when you should. But it's also a big deal to take the Passover when you shouldn't. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, "For I received from the Lord." This is instruction that Paul received directly from Jesus Christ. He didn't just pass it on from the other apostles. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The death of Jesus Christ is integral to the new covenant. So much so that it's his death that we're told to remember and to proclaim. We're told to focus on his sacrifice, on what he did for us, taking our sins on himself. And because we do as we're instructed, the church has been put down for not giving enough attention to his birth or his resurrection. The birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ are both big deals, and we can acknowledge that. But think about it. Any push to commemorate or celebrate the birth and resurrection come entirely from false religion. There's no reason for us to feel like we're doing something wrong because we do what Jesus Christ himself tells us to do. Now that's a little off topic, but the Bible doesn't even say when Jesus was born or when he was resurrected. Now, yes, we can figure out when he was resurrected because we can count 72 hours. But it doesn't actually say that it was on the Sabbath shortly before sunset. What the Bible does say very clearly is when and how to take the Passover. We know when Jesus Christ took the Passover. And we know that we're supposed to eat unleavened bread and drink wine when we take the Passover. There is an appointed time, and there are rules to follow, because the Passover is a critical part of the new covenant, just like it was in the old covenant. But reading on, verse 27, Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, I won't say that this is the proof that only baptized members of the church should take the Passover, but it is certainly evidence that taking the Passover is not something that just anyone should do. If someone new comes to Sabbath services next week for the very first time in their lives, they should not be taking the Passover 3 days later. They're not at this point. Now, I love my kids. And yes, they are the smartest 7, 5, 3, and 1-year-olds that have ever walked the planet. But they are not at a point where they can discern the Lord's body. The principle is the same as in the Old Testament. There are people who should be excluded from taking the Passover. And it should be clear to us that their exclusion is for their good, because there are serious consequences for not taking the Passover in a worthy manner. The bread and the wine at the Passover aren't just any old bread and wine. As Jesus Christ said, worded this way in Luke and here in 1 Corinthians, this is the new covenant in my blood. Again, the principle is the same. As it's stated in the church's fundamental belief on the Passover, God had instructed Moses that only full members of the covenant people of Israel should partake or could partake of the Passover. So the question becomes, how does one become a full member of the new covenant people? Turn to Romans 2 and verses 28 and 29. Now, the New Testament states plainly in several places, beginning in the book of Acts, that physical circumcision is not required under the new covenant. But there is still a circumcision required. It's just a different kind of circumcision. Romans 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Circumcision is not on the outside anymore. It's on the inside. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Membership in the covenant people of physical Israel was primarily through birth. But as we read, one who was not a member by birth could be included. And one who was a member by birth could be excluded. And there was a way to confirm, at least for the males, who was in and who was out. Who was allowed to take the Passover and who wasn't. But how can you confirm if someone's heart has been circumcised? Well, technically you can't. Only God can really see if one's heart is circumcised. But there is something, a sign that can be found in anyone who has undergone that circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2 and verse 11. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. There is still an outward sign of this inward circumcision. And that sign is baptism. Circumcision of the heart comes by putting off the body of sins when one is buried with Christ in baptism. I said earlier that we'd get back to one of Christ's statements in Matthew 26, so let's do that now. And turn to Acts chapter 2 and verses 37 through 39. When he instituted the new symbols of the Passover, Jesus Christ said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The blood of the Passover lambs was spread on the lintels and doorposts of the homes of the Israelites so that the death sentence of the Egyptians would pass over the Israelites. But there is no amount of animal's blood that can remove sin. The old covenant never included a promise to forgive sin. But the new covenant does through Christ's blood. So to put the last nail in the coffin of the question of why only baptized members take the Passover, which may not be the best expression to use, but it is a fitting one in the context of baptism. But to put the proverbial last nail in, I'll ask a question. Jesus Christ said that the wine which we drink at the Passover is his blood of the new covenant. And it's only by his blood, by his sacrifice, that our sins can be forgiven. Therefore, my question is this: when is Christ's sacrifice applied to us to pass over our sins? Acts 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, put off the body of sins of the flesh, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." I love my children, and they do have a promise, just like all of us, that their sins can be forgiven. But until they're baptized, they haven't entered that covenant with God, and they cannot have their sins forgiven. That's why the Roman Catholic Church has a practice of baptizing babies. They understand that remission of sins only comes after baptism. Now, it's because they misunderstand what happens after death that they've had to come up with this non-biblical practice. But we understand what the Bible says, that everyone gets an honest chance to repent, to take the blood of Jesus Christ as payment for their sins, as full members of the covenant people. So who takes the Passover and who doesn't take the Passover is an important question, a question with serious consequences if we get it wrong. So it's not up to you or to me to just decide for ourselves what the right answer is. We have to go by what the Word of God says. There is no verse that says only baptized members of the church can take the Passover. But what the Bible does say leaves no doubt about why it should only be those who are baptized who take the Passover.